Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bribe or fine dine? This is SN Fresen. It's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome to the SN Fresen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife. And with just under 2 weeks left for Pesach, we're going to do it. We're going to manage this Pesach with ease. So, the first thing we're going to talk about is the herb of the week. And the herb of the week this week is bay leaves. And I thought that's quite appropriate because we do need a lot of flavor in our meat. And so what exactly does a bay leaf do to a dish? But then, rather, on the other hand, what is it that a dish lacks when you don't have bay leaves? So whether you're using it in a soup, a stew, there's something so magical about the dish that no other herb can actually do. And I must say, I first fell in love with bay leaves when I met Mimi Jardine at the Nando's Kitchen. And it was her who suggested a bay leaf between each piece of meat on a sausage stick, or better still, to use the twig of a bay leaf tree to thread the meat on. So I tried it. It was delicious. Of course, the meat has to be, the pieces have to be a little thicker. I would do the pieces about 3 centimeters by 3 centimeters. Because if they're too small, then the bay leaf taste is going to be too pungent. So these fresh bay leaves actually can impart a slightly bitter flavor. So this is a herb which is far better used when dried. So to dry them is easy. You just hang a branch, find a friend that's got a lovely bay leaf tree, and hang a branch in an airy spot in your kitchen, and the leaves will dry in a couple of weeks. And then you could add the leaves to milk when you're making a bechamel sauce. I remember my mother always put a bay leaf in her bechamel sauce. You can toss them into boiling water when you're boiling potatoes. You can add them to marinades, all kinds of meats and meat marinades. And of course, you can scatter a few in a slow cooked stew. So fresh or dried, bay leaves are wonderful in soups, casseroles, curries, stews, and also pop a bay leaf into a glass of boiling water, let it cool down a bit, let it seep, and it's wonderful for digestion. Okay, and do you know that you can actually also add a bay leaf to your chicken stock, your chicken soup, and to your gefilte fish pot? Try a bay leaf in there. So after the break, I'm going to give you a lovely recipe for a brisket using bay leaves.
Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bribe or fine dine? This is SN Fresen. It's all about the food.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Boba Shah, the kosher butcher's wife, and I am sharing a recipe with you that you can use over Pesach using our herb of the week, which is bay leaves. And I'm going to share forget-me-not biscuit, which a friend of mine reminded me of at my demonstration a few weeks ago for Pesach. And she said, there is nothing better than forget-me-not brisket. So I thought, let me share it with you all. So me, being me, I always forget to serve at least one thing, or on Pesach, or even on Shabbat. I mean, it's sitting in the oven, and I just can't forget about it. So I had to call this dish forget-me-not brisket, because it's so good that you really don't want to do that. However, it can easily be forgotten, because once it's in the oven, you don't have to think about it for 7 hours at least. You will need 3 kilos of pickled brisket. I also suggest using a pickled hump, but order this a few days before, so you know it gives the butcher time to pickle the hump for you. Then you will need 400 grams of, now this is all for about 3-3.5 kilos of meat. You'll need 400 grams of apricot jam, 3 tablespoons of red or white wine vinegar, 1 by 100 grams of tomato paste, or if it's 115 grams, that's fine. I think the tomato paste for Pesach are a little bit more than the usual ones. 1 cup of water, 1 tablespoon of grated fresh ginger, or you can use about 1 teaspoon of ground. 1 heaped teaspoon of horseradish, the bottled horseradish. Just take off the juice. You'll also need 1 tablespoon of crushed peppercorns and our herb of the week, 3 bay leaves. So we preheat the oven to 150. You place the washed brisket into a roasting bag and you combine the remaining ingredients in a bowl. So you'll combine the jam, the vinegar, the tomato paste, the cupped water, the cup of water, the ginger, the horseradish, peppercorns, and the bay leaves. Mix that in a bowl and pour it over the brisket in the bag. Tie it firmly, place it in a roasting pan, and you roast it for 6 or 7 hours. After 6 hours, check to see if the meat is cooked by inserting a long length carving fork through the center of the brisket or the hump. And if it goes through smoothly without any problem, it's ready. Yes, you can pierce the bag with a fork into the meat. And then you serve this with pumpkin or roast potatoes or whatever you want. While we're on the subject of pickled brisket, I think I'm going to share my sweet and sour pickled brisket, which also enjoys the use of bay leaves. So you'll need 3 kilo pickled brisket or hump, 3 bay leaves, 2 carrots, 1 onion, 3 sticks of celery cut in half. And you wash the meat, place it in a large pot with the bay leaves, carrots, onion and celery, and cover it with water. Bring it to the boil on high, then reduce it to a simmer for about an hour. Because remember, you're going to cook it further in the oven. After an hour, remove the meat and discard the water. You'll need 1/2 cup of syrup, 1/2 cup of sweet chili sauce, and 1/2 cup of the chocolate tree apricot jam, and 1 cup of ready-made sauerkraut. Then all you do is you place 2 large pieces of tin foil, 1 vertically and 1 horizontally, into a roasting pan. Obviously, it will, you know, overlap and come out of the roasting pan. And you put the beef in the center where the 2 pieces of foil actually meet. You combine the syrup, the sweet chili, the apricot jam, and the sauerkraut. Pour it over the beef. And then you lift up the sides and you fold foil and secure it like a parcel. You scrunch it in the middle. And this will ensure that, you know, all the tastes and everything stays in the beef. And it should get a lovely toffee-ish kind of syrup effect. If it doesn't, and you wanted to get that more of a syrupy effect, towards the end of the cooking process, you can unwrap the parcel, the tin foil, and you can just let it roast a little bit more until all the moisture evaporates and gets that lovely sticky finish to it. And that is your sweet and sour. It's as simple as that. Now, if you don't manage to get sauerkraut, what you can do is you take 500 grams of shredded white cabbage, and you can buy it already pre-shredded, 1 cup of vinegar, white vinegar, 3 bay leaves, and 2 teaspoons of salt, and you place all the ingredients into a glass bowl, and you mix it and sort of crush it down until it wilts, and then you refrigerate it for about 2 hours. But you really want the vinegar to get into the cabbage. Take the cabbage out of the glass bowl, squeeze it so you don't get too much vinegar and too much sourness in your pickled brisket, and then you can add that instead of sauerkraut. So those are your bay leaf recipes. After the break, a lovely interview with Naomi Nachman.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Welcome to the show, Naomi. It's wonderful to have you back on again. And this time we're talking about one of your favorite chagim. Okay, that has to be Pesach. And
Yay, hi.
Tell me something. If there was one special dish that your family baked for every year, what would it be?
Well, that is a great question for starters, Sharon. Thank you so much for having me back on the show. I love chatting with you across the world, from New York to South Africa. My cinnamon wine cake from my cookbook, Perfect Flavors. Yes. Sorry, Perfect for Pesach. Perfect. They love that. That was like a staple when my kids were growing up. They always insisted I make that. It's a gebrachs cake though, so if you're non-gebrachs, it's not for you, but they definitely, it's a big winner in my house.
Fantastic. Okay, so I will give the recipe afterwards to
And actually I did a video on kosher.com making that recipe, so my show's called Sunny Side Up on kosher.com. I'm gonna have to bring you in to do a cooking video with me there. We'll talk about that that would be so fun. Can actually see it, me making it on kosher.com on the show Sunny Side Up.
Okay, because I was actually watching your bundt cake, your bundt for Pesach.
Yeah.
That looks fantastic with the wonderful almond flour. Yeah, I'm going to give that recipe as well. And so some tips, Naomi. Shabbos goes into Yom Tov. What are you doing to sort this all out?
Okay, so for me personally, I'm actually working on a Passover program, and it's called Leisure Time Tours. It's partnered with Kosher Rica, and we're going to be in Arizona, where I'll be doing cooking classes on Pesach. So it's really fun. So I'm really lucky. So I get to go away, but it's also a job. So, you know, never chummy that that's my job. but I've spent many years at home, and I used to serve Erev Yontif. And remember, Erev Yontif is Pesach this year, is Shabbos.
Yeah.
So it gets a little bit tricky, which means you can't have, your regular challah, even though it's not Pesach. There's so many different things that you have to work out. But what I do is I make schnitzel and potato kugel to serve for Seudah Shlishit, right? Uh-huh. Even though, we normally have a parva meal, or you could do potato kugel and fried fish with non-gebrochs crumbs. You could do that because a lot of people, even though if they do eat gebrochs on Pesach, you don't eat it right before Pesach. You don't eat matzah meal before Erev Yontif. So use the non-gebrochs crumbs. I'm sure you can get that in South Africa. I know it's very readily available in America. And you can fry the fish or schnitzel, or serve a potato kugel. Because remember, I don't know about where it falls out in terms of timing, but we're going into our summer. Our clocks have changed. So it's so late to even start. We're not going to start even Kiddush till 9 o'clock at night. So I'm not sure what time it will be in South Africa, but you need to have a really good Seudah Shlishit. You need to really fill up, because nobody wants to go into the Seder hungry. Even if it wasn't Shabbos, we would, want to go into Yom Tov hungry. I actually have a recipe in my cookbook, Perfect for Pesach, called Erev Pesach Potato Salad. It's got potatoes and pickles and deli, and it's kind of like a protein with carb, and it kind of like fills you up before the fast, going into the Seder.
I'm making it tonight, a delicious potato salad without the mayonnaise and, with lots of lemon juice and dill. And
ooh, yum.
Oh, it's really delicious. One of those ones that you can't stop eating.
I would like to have that recipe because I like the fact that it has no mayo. I love mayo, but I'm happy to have one without mayo.
Okay, I'll send it across to you. And what are you going to tell us? Are you allowed to tell us some of the recipes that you're going to be making over Pesach at your demo?
So at my cooking demos, I'm going to be running some cooking competition. So that's always fun. We're like interactive family programs. Then I'm going to do a class on soups. I'm going to make a flounder bouillabaisse because you can make that on Yom Tov and it's chunky. You don't have to blend it. And I'm also going to make a kale sausage soup as the other class. The fish bouillabaisse recipe, I don't have that posted anywhere. I guess I'll have to send that to you. But the cabanossi kale salad, which is like sausages, that's imperfect for Pesach. And then my other recipe I'm going to be doing is a cocktail class, and then the other class is going to be dips. Making dips, because that's good. Either you want ishmeret on matzah, ishmeret on challah. These are the people who are on a program, so they're not going to be cooking for Pesach in any case. But right. It's ideas and concepts they can use for Shabbat all year round.
No, America's got the population to do this kind of thing.
Yeah, actually, and we have amazing ingredients available also, makes...
You really do. In fact, I got a phone. We don't get non-dairy creamer. We don't get coconut milk. So I've been giving recipes with coconut milk made from desiccated coconut, which is really it's terrific. You just boil but you get coconut milk, don't you?
We get everything here. We can get bread, kosher Pesach bread.
Wow.
The everything here is we're getting now. You know, the Pesach soy sauce was made out of I don't even know what. I call it flavored tea. I used to call it flavored tea. Now we have real coconut aminos, you know, which people use all year.
You know, this time last year I was in London, the UK, Matt. Is it a cruise? Not a cruise this time.
No.
It's just at a hotel.
It's at a hotel. Well, we can't really cruise on Pesach. But I do work for a cruise company during the year, and I get to go on riverboat cruises. If anybody ever wants to come, we've actually had South Africans come on our trips before.
Oh, really?
But we're actually doing Japan next year. Oh, and Antarctica, all kosher boat. The whole boat is kosher. Yes, if anybody wants more info, you can call me. throw that in there.
I'll throw it in there. And desserts. Have you got anything exciting without non-dairy creamer?
So you know what's really good? Pavlova. Pavlova is great. Lemon curd is great.
Yeah.
I have the recipes in my books for that. So many. Also, I'm big into fruit. People, we have such big, heavy meals. A fruit platter is wonderful at the end of the meal. In fact, I just washed some strawberries in my house now. Yeah. So maybe think of that. But really fruit cups or peach cobblers, apple cobblers. You know, we're going to our summer, so we're getting a lot of great fruits. But even apples are available all year. And you can
make that. What we make a lot of is we put vodka on and lime and a little bit of lime and water and vodka onto grapes. And we let them...
Wait, stop. Can you say that again? Vodka and grapes?
Vodka, grapes.
Okay, tell me about that.
Okay, so you put in a cup of vodka and a little bit of water with... you make a syrup, you know, the...
Simple syrup.
Simple syrup. And you pour that in and you cover it and a cup of vodka and you put it into a jar and you leave it in the fridge or wherever... By the time the Seder comes and goes, everybody's so happy and so relaxed. They're not even looking at their watches. It's too terrific.
I'm going to get that. You're going to send me. Is that on your website? Or?
No, I'll send it to you.
We're going to put that up.
It's in one of my books. I'll send it to you.
Oh, yeah. Send me a copy. I have and all then, your books. Course, I love them. But
The book, the grapes on the kebab sticks, and you stick them into the freezer and then take them out and then you put them into to make it look like a hedgehog and you put it into over a watermelon or any kind of melon. It's also lovely and effective.
I like that a lot.
Simple.
I'm gonna send me that vodka with a great recipe. That is amazing.
Shall do. You'll get everybody
happy. I'm
excited
on that.
In Arizona. Is that where you're going, Arizona?
Arizona. It's very hot there, so we're going to look for really cool cocktails.
Oh, so you'll enjoy this one.
Sit in the desert. The Jews are going back to the Midbar, you know.
Any other tips for us? Any other nice dishes that you can think of? We always go back to the same brisket recipe. Isn't it amazing that no matter how many new recipes we get, somehow that same old brisket recipe just makes it to the top?
I think because we're such a people of tradition, especially with Pesach, because we're still telling the same story in a good way for 2,000 years, so you kind of make the same thing that you're used to because we're hearing the same story, you know, like the Maggid, it's a repetition of hearing what the Jewish people went through and you know, you want to hear the same recipes and you want to hear the same story of how Hashem saved us from Mitzrayim, and I feel like it's a little bit connected. I think people like to change it up for holidays, but I think Pesach people really like what their family used to make,
right.
So, you know, And brisket's a great recipe because you can prep ahead 2-3 days ahead and pop it in the freezer. Well, you can you can make two at the same time. Make one for first days and one for second days in the, you know. Yeah. So it's one of those really easy things that we can do. The more prep ahead you can do, the better off you
are. That's what I say. It's all about the prep, prep, prep. That's it.
Yeah.
Get everything organized. Stick it in the freezer and just be able to relax like everybody else does when they come to your soda.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah.
Always jealous of the ladies that look so magnificent when they arrive here, smelling beautifully, beautiful perfume, and their high-heel shoes. And all I want to do is put on a pair of tackies and just go, whew, I've done it.
I've done it. You know, you should all give yourselves a pat on the back. It's you know, the Jewish women, we are resilient, whether we've packed a family to go away for Pesach or staying at home and cooking for your family. We are a resilient people. We are holding the Jewish people together. So, you know, kol hakavod to every single woman out there.
Absolutely. And you know what? I really do love Pesach. I just find it so exhilarating, uplifting, and I just clean and prepare and just... I don't know. It just does something. It's like a renewed energy.
Yes, exactly. I like that. Thank you so much for having me. I love chatting with you.
Oh, it was beautiful to chat and have a wonderful time in Arizona.
Thank you.
Be well.
And I'll see you at home with your family.
I'll send you the recipes.
Send me that recipe and you can put up the recipes from kosher.com and the recipes are in also with videos and some of them are on kosher.com.
Fantastic.
All right. Great. I'm going to see you soon, hopefully.
Good.
You on our show.
Be well.
All right. Take care. Chag Sameach.
Chag
Sameach.
Bye. So as promised, I'm going to share Naomi Nachman's cinnamon wine cake with you. Cinnamon wine sponge cake, 12 eggs separated. Yes, I've always said Pesach is definitely the egg and onion chag. You'll need 12 eggs, 1.5 cups of sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of lemon juice. I used a teaspoon, was fine. 1/2 cup of cream Malaga wine. Now, I looked for a substitute for that, and the best thing I could come up with just a nice sweet red wine. So you can use a nice sweet Pesadica red wine, like a Shabbos wine or something like that. 1 cup of Manischewitz or whichever cake meal we can get here. 1/2 cup of potato starch. I use the chocolate tree one. 1 teaspoon of cinnamon. And all you do is you preheat your oven to 350 degrees, which is what, 180. And you grease a tube pan, she calls it, or baking pan. As long as it goes up halfway in the pan. So you can use a loaf tin as well. You can use a bun tin if you want. And in a bowl of an electric mixer fitted with a whisk attachment. She used the whisk attachment, so this is very important. Beat the eggs until light. Very light. Then you add the sugar slowly, the lemon juice and wine. You mix it well and you stir in the cake meal and the potato starch. I'm sure you could probably use almond flour as well if you don't want to use matzah meal. In a second bowl with a clean whisk, you beat the egg whites until they're stiff. You fold it into the batter. You transfer 1/3 of the batter to a small bowl. Blend in the cinnamon. Spoon cinnamon and white batter alternatively into paired pan to make a marble effect. Then you swirl the cake with a knife to get a pretty pattern. And then you bake it for 50 to 60 minutes until a toothpick inserted comes out clean and you top it and the top is nicely browned. So that's her cinnamon wine sponge cake. If you want to, just go on to Naomi Nachman or go on to Sunny Side Up, and you'll actually see her demonstrating how to make the cinnamon wine sponge cake.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Bob Bashar, the kosher butcher's wife, and I'm sharing some lovely Pesach recipes. It's almost the final countdown. Next week will be... where the pressure's on. But if you start doing things slowly and get out onto your verandas, you don't have to wait to Pesach-tick your whole kitchen. Do it in another area. Get another area. If you don't have a Pesach kitchen, as I don't, then you just use your patio and start making all these wonderful dishes. It's so easy. You get a two-plate stove. And instead of buying that beautiful new dress that you saw for Pesach, push that aside and rather buy a two-plate stove for probably a quarter of the price. But it will enable you to really relax and have a beautiful Pesach. I don't know if you're like me, but we tend to over-fry a little sometimes, over-fry fish balls, and we have fish balls left over, or we have fried fish pieces left over. So here is a recipe for curried fish balls or for curried fish fingers, which is simple, and you can use all your leftover fish. 2 onions sliced into rings, a little oil for frying, and a chili or 2, depending on how hot you like your curry. I use 2 chilies, take the seeds out and really chop it up quite finely. 1 teaspoon crushed garlic, 1 tablespoon curry powder. If you can't find curry powder, don't worry. The chili in your curry will be hot enough. 2 tablespoons apricot jam, 2 tablespoons tomato paste, 3/4 cup of vinegar, 1 heaped teaspoon of potato flour dissolved in 1 cup of cold water. It won't dissolve if you put it in hot water. It needs to be dissolved in cold water. And here again, we're going back to our bay leaves, and we're using 6 bay leaves, 1 tablespoon of peppercorns. So we fry the sliced onions in a little oil with the chili and the garlic for a minute, but no longer, because you don't want the onions to be too soft. Combine the apricot jam, tomato paste, vinegar, and dissolved flour, potato flour, in water, and add it to the onions and garlic, and put it back onto the heat and keep stirring it until it thickens up. Then all you do is you add your bay leaves at the end, and you pour over the sauce over your filter fish balls, your fried fish balls, your fried fish fingers, whatever. A little tip with regard to gefilte fish. I know some people make gefilte fish loaves, but it's always like some left. Do yourself a favor, slice these up and fry it. Fry it in a little bit of onion and in a little bit of oil. It really is delicious. Talking about fried fish balls, a lot of people have asked me to give a recipe for homemade mayonnaise. I use 1 jumbo egg and 1 jumbo yolk. I use 1 3/4 cups of oil, 5 teaspoons of lemon juice. Now, you may need to add a little bit more lemon juice if you prefer it, to have a more tangy taste. You can use vinegar instead of lemon juice. And then you need 1 tablespoon of sugar. And then with a blender on high speed, you whip the egg and the egg yolk and the egg, and whip it up. And then you slowly, drop by drop, add the oil. A little tip that I once got from somebody was that you take the oil bottle and you make a little hole in the top, in the lid, and that helps you drop it in slowly, slowly, slowly. And then it should start to thicken up while beating on maximum speed. This is where the fun starts. You can actually add a little bit of crane to it, and you can make crayonnaise. You can add pickled cucumbers if you want to. You can add finely grated fresh cucumber and celery to it. You can add it to salad dressings. You can put chopped parsley in it. I mean, there's so much that you can do with homemade mayonnaise. So while we're on the subject of mayonnaise and salad dressings, I'd like to share this Thai salad dressing with you, because it's wonderful on chicken. If you have any chicken left over, you can make a lovely chicken salad and then serve this Thai dressing with it. You'll need 2/3 of a cup of sweet chili sauce, 1 small bird's eye hot chili, finely chopped, seeds removed, 2/3 of a cup of oil, 1/3 of a cup of soy sauce, 1/3 of a cup of lime juice or vinegar, 1 teaspoon peanut butter. Yes, we're allowed peanut butter in South Africa. 4 tablespoons of honey, 1 teaspoon ground black pepper, 1 teaspoon, flat teaspoon of ginger spice, or you can use a tablespoon of fresh ginger. And that's the salad dressing. You whisk it all together in a bowl, or you can shake it in a jar with a tight-fitting lid, and then remember to shake it before you use it or pour it over a salad. Let me share an easy recipe, a dessert recipe with you, and it's for a sticky toffee pudding. So you'll need 1 3/4 cups of pitted dates, 1 1/2 cups of boiling water, 1 1/2 teaspoons of bicarbonate of soda, 1/2 cup of coconut oil melted, 1/2 cup of sugar, 1/2 cup of syrup, 1 teaspoon powdered ginger, 1 teaspoon cinnamon, a pinch of salt, 2 eggs, a teaspoon of vanilla essence, 3/4 of a cup of potato flour, 1 cup of almond flour, and 1 teaspoon of baking powder. So the potato flour and the almond flour that I use was the chocolate tree, and seems to work wonderfully. So we preheat our oven to 170 degrees. We grease an oven-proof dish about 25 by 15 or 18 centimeters. Place the dates into a small saucepan. Sprinkle with bicarbonate of soda, which has got the BP on it. It has to have BP on it. Cover with water and bring to the boil. You simmer that for about a minute, and then you set it aside covered so that the dates absorb all the lovely water. Then using an electric mixer, we cream together the coconut oil, sugar and syrup until light and fluffy. Then we add the eggs one at a time and the vanilla essence to the sugar mixture. Carry on beating. Then we sift the potato flour and the other powders together, the almond flour together, and we add this along with the cool date mixture and its water to the sugar and the syrup. So you add the flour, the baking powder, the cool date mixture and the sugar to the sugar and the syrup, which has got the eggs in it as well. And you mix it until well combined, and then you bake it for 45 minutes. Don't look at the cake. But then after 45 minutes, you switch off the oven and leave it for another 10 minutes. And the cake is ready when the skewer comes out clean. Meanwhile, you make up the sauce that you're going to pour over this delicious cake by placing 1/2 cup of sugar and 1/2 cup of water in a small saucepan with 1 tablespoon of finely grated ginger or a teaspoon of ginger powder. You bring it to the boil and you allow it to simmer with the lid on for about 5 minutes. And then as the pudding comes out of the oven, you take a sharp skewer and you prick a few holes in the cake and you pour the sauce over the cake. And if you're using aluminium foil dishes, don't poke the skewer through it. Otherwise, all the sauce will pour out. So what I normally do is I bake the cake beforehand. And then when I'm ready to use the cake, I bring the sauce to the boil. You can prepare the sauce beforehand. Heat up the sauce, pour it over the cake. And there you have a delicious sticky date pudding. Well, I hope that that has ended the show off on a lovely, sweet note. And may your Pesach be wonderful. Enjoy it and try and relax and have fun and create new recipes and create new ideas for next year as well. Thank you, Craig, for pressing all the buttons. And to anybody else who helped behind the scenes. And we'll speak again soon. I think it's Tinelli's. It's a tomato, bottle of tomatoes.